May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 610. 610. Precious Jesus, friend of sinners, we as such to thee draw near. Let thy spirit now dwell in us, and with love our souls inspire. Fill, O fill us, with that love which casts out fear. Hymn number 610.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. Let us read two portions of Scripture this evening. Firstly, in the prophecy of Isaiah, and we will read chapter 64. The prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 64. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity for ever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praise thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? Now we turn to the prophecy of Zechariah, and we'll read chapter 4. The prophecy of Zechariah and chapter 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I, and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. May the Lord grant his blessing upon those portions of his holy and sacred word. May he now help us to pray. O thou most holy, almighty, and most gracious God, Lord, we have nowhere else to come with the felt guilt of our souls and of our waywardness, our faults, our failings. And Lord, we cannot come guilty as we are of our own selves. But Lord, we come with thanksgiving that we can plead a name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, that through him we may be found accepted before thee. So, Lord, we plead his precious name as we are gathered together here at this evening hour. We plead that atoning blood. Lord, we plead that sacrifice for sin on Calvary's cross. For there is our hope that we shall be found sinless, pure, holy in the judgment day. Until then, Lord, we have many sins to confess. But, oh, we thank thee for that precious word, that if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, Lord, may that be the case with each one of us assembled here tonight, and with any who may be listening in to this time of worship. Lord, may we each know our pardon is sealed, and we have peace with Thee, our God. O Lord, may we value this sacred truth as it is in Jesus, above all the other things which we have contact with and enjoy and possess in this earthly life. Lord, we thank Thee for many mercies which daily we receive. Lord, that we can come here tonight. Lord, the privilege of worship. Lord, our freedom to gather without any threat of violence or of any breaking of any earthly law. And Lord, we thank Thee for safety on our journeys, sufficient health and strength to be here. We thank Thee, Lord, for those essential things of our daily lives, our food, our drink, our clothing. Lord, we thank Thee for homes, our loved ones. We thank Thee for all we possess needful to obtain our daily things, Lord, for the comfort of an earthly life. O Lord, Thou hast bestowed upon us great riches for the good of our earthly state. And we have Thy holy word. Lord, we have read part of it. O Lord, it is a sacred word of truth, the purest part of our worship this night. O Lord, to grant Thy blessing upon it to our souls. And Lord, we thank Thee, it's Christ Jesus the same, yesterday, today and forever. So, Lord, we come with thanksgiving for all these many mercies which Thou hast granted to us. Lord, there are those things which, yes, grieve us, assail us, cause us to have troubles, afflictions, tribulations. Lord, trials of our faith, sorrows of the way. Lord, Thou hast not promised us everything smooth and good and well. But we thank Thee, Lord, in the midst of whatever circumstances are in our lives, to know that they're all in Thy hand. And Thy hand, Lord, is a gracious hand, the hand upon which we live. And as the hymn writer put it, doth life and time and death command, and hath eternal joys to give. O Lord, help us to look beyond the things of time to the things that are eternal. For Lord, there is our end, an end of this time in this life, and the beginning of that which shall have no end, a life eternal. Oh, help us, Lord, to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Thee, our God. Lord, that high calling come up higher when our days upon earth are ended. Until then, Lord, we commit our ways unto Thee. Oh, give us the faith by Thy Spirit to trust in Thee. And Lord, deliver us from the powers of unbelief, doubts and fears, which well up from our evil hearts, Lord, which are affected by our earthly wisdom and considerations, for in ourselves there is no faith. But, O Lord, give us that faith to trust in Thee at all times. knowing, Lord, that whatever comes to pass, there is a divine purpose. And thou canst work all those things together for good. So, Lord, help us ever to be looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. Lord, we come this night to worship thee, a faithful God, a faithful Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, nothing can overturn that love, that redeeming love, that everlasting love that is toward thy people. Lord, thou, the Lord Jesus Christ, doth rest in thy love. May that be our lot also, to rest in Christ, the friend of sinners, the Saviour of sinners, the one through which all our needs are supplied, according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. O Lord, do not let us stumble and fall aside. Do not let us go into the ways of ungodliness. Lord, we confess at times we do face sin, we fail. Yea, Lord, I said at times, but Lord, moments of each day, sin is mixed with all we do. And as we've read, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before thee, because our sinful hearts cannot bring forth anything that is pure and holy. And our righteousnesses, our good deeds, which we should do not blot out one of our sins. O Lord, we are poor, we are needy, we are helpless. We only deserve thy wrath on account of all of our sin. And yet, Lord, thou hast brought us through to see this evening of another day. And we would praise and thank thee. Thou hast not rewarded us after our sins. Lord, help us to look unto thee once more. Oh, do open up thy word of truth to us. For in there, Lord, is the way of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Oh, remember the children. Lord, help them to hear, to understand. And Lord, draw them to keep to the truth of thy holy word. Lord, there's much in this world to turn them aside, to entice them away from the things of Jesus, to the things that are promoted toward them, as if they are far greater than anything else. But, O Lord, shield them from those poisonous philosophies. And, Lord, give them that heart and mind to seek and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them, Lord, in their education. And prepare them, Lord, for vocations in life which are before them. Lord, are not their times in thy hand? Help in all the times of decision making, those choices which have to be made. Lord, close doors which are forbidden of thee, and open those doors which are of thy will. And oh, may they grow, Lord, to know they are sinners saved by thy grace, and Lord, to be a witness of that truth for the building up of thy church. The young people, likewise, we pray for them, Lord. Higher education in occupation, friendships, acquaintances. Lord, their location when choices have to be made and regarding where they are to be and what they are to do. Lord, may they be under the shadow of thy wing. Shield them, Lord, from all that will distract them to go into the ways of ungodliness. Oh, keep them from being a prodigal. Lord, if there are any prodigals, maybe of our loved ones, bring them back. Cause them to be in want, the want of the knowledge of thy pardoning love. Oh, that is what the one found we read of in thy word. Oh, that Father watching, waiting for his returning. Oh, Lord, and do we not read of thee, the Lord God Almighty, waiteth to be gracious. So, Lord, may there be many, oh, that have wandered far from the way of thy truth, Lord, to be drawn back and receive an abundance of thy pardoning love. Be with each of us, Lord, in our particular pathways. We be those in business, Lord, those who have to daily mingle with many ungodly, maybe blasphemous people. Lord, do keep them from entering into those ways, or not, although unintentionally, Lord, how easily we can fail. Lord, do support and help them. And may they be able to do and speak that which is in the honour of thy name. Oh, keep them, Lord, as the apple of thine eye. Help them to do that which is demanded of them, expected of them. And Lord, so to be faithful servants in a natural sense. And Lord, servants of thine in a spiritual sense. Lord, be with each of the families. Bless the mothers and the fathers. Lord, do help them in these difficult days. Lord, help them to stand fast for that which is right. And may there be those signs following those things, Lord, that are for the blessing of their souls and of the children, and in all that involves in their family lives. Lord, all our ways we commend to thee. Oh, Lord, be mindful of us in everything. Remember those who are sick. Those, Lord, who have pains and afflictions. Those who cannot do their daily tasks as they once did. Lord, do help and strengthen them as they cry unto thee for thine appearing. Grant thy healing touch, bodily, mentally, if that is the case. And also, Lord, grant thy healing spiritually to their soul. Remember one, Lord, who worshipped here for long now in the Bethesda home. Remember her in her weakness. Uphold and strengthen her daily. Remember those, Lord, that are bereaved of loved ones. Lord, thou knowest the aching hearts. Thou knowest those moments sad at Lord, in the loneliness of perhaps a one's room at home. But, oh, Lord, do not leave them to be alone. Lord, an unseen guest ever at hand. Lord, grant tokens of thy love and mercy and strengthen them day by day. Lord, to look on, to look up, to know the way that those loved ones have gone, that they themselves one day will follow on. May it be the case with each one of us. Lord, do prepare us to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must that work perform. It is all of grace. Lord, do come and bless the ministry of the gospel that is proclaimed here in these four walls. Lord, may it be a word of thine in power, in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Lord, we pray that thou wilt cause it to be said again and again, it has been good. We've been up to the house of the Lord. We thank thee thou hast maintained, Lord, this place of worship, the work that has recently had to be done. Lord, may it be successful for oh, so many, many days to come, years to come. Whatever be that length of time, thou wilt still spare this earth. And Lord, we do pray for the Sunday school. Lord, do bless the work there, the teaching of the children. And may thy word not return unto thee void. Lord, we lay all these things before thee. There's our nation, all the solemn things of it, our government, all those in places of influence and power and authority. Lord, do cause to be placed there those that fear thy name. O Lord, there are places which we do not desire to have ruled by the ungodly. That means, Lord, exercises must be given to thy people to take up these positions, to seek that to be done which is right in thy sight. Lord, we do pray, thou wilt raise up many that fear thy name to be leaders in our land and in all the institutions and places of influence and authority. We pray for the work of the Christian Institute. Lord, do help them as they lobby our Parliament in the things that are right. Lord, may their voice be heard, influence be given, thy Spirit, Lord, to apply it to the minds and hearts of our leaders and the legislation of our land reflect the counsel of thy holy word. Oh, Lord, we do not deserve these things, but we pray earnestly for them. Pardon now all things, our many sins. Blot out all our transgressions. Lord, love us freely. And come now, as we look into thy word, may it enter our hearts, and we enter into the truth. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 814.
And we'll sing the first seven verses. Brethren, why toil ye thus for toys, and reckon trash for treasure? Call gay deceptions solid joys, intoxication pleasure. Hymn 814, concluding at verse 7.
in complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us, and that he may speak himself through his own word to the blessing of each of our souls. And ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 4, and the first part of verse 7. Zechariah chapter 4, the first clause of verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. This chapter of Zechariah's prophecy, which we read, begins and ends with that which Zechariah saw in the vision that was given to him. He viewed a candlestick, a bowl on the top, seven lamps. There were seven pipes. And two olive trees, and the olive oil being poured through pipes into the candlestick, that it may give light. Now, not to go into these in any detail, friends, but this was a vision Zechariah had of the establishing, the building up of the Church of Christ. We read, don't we, in the prophecy, in the vision of John in the Revelation, when he saw the seven golden candlesticks, which were told to be the seven churches at that time of Asia. You know, gold is very precious. It's a precious element of this earth, and the Church of Christ is very precious unto him. They're above the value, it's above the value of the other things of this sin-cursed earth. For in these churches dwell his people who are called out. That's what congregation means. They're called out from amongst others to be separate for the worship of God. And dear friends, the blessing can only come when that oil of the Spirit of God is poured in, poured out into the church, through the gospel truth as it is in Jesus. The truth of Jesus, the power of the Spirit. And that's through that where a church gives light. As a city set on a hill cannot be hid, so a church that declares the fullness of the blessings of the truth as it is in Jesus, dear friends, it cannot be hid. A candlestick is not set under a bed, as the scripture says, but is to be give light to all the house. And so the church is to give light to all that are round about. It's to be a witness of the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, dear friends, we're to lay these things to our heart, aren't we? Or do we try to hide the light under a bushel because of the fear of man? Our desire should be to do and seek to do that which is to the honour and glory of God in obedience to his word. Friends, to act in such a way in this sin-cursed earth may seem like a great mountain. Difficult, dangerous, fearing to be overcome with retaliation and whatever persecution may even arise. Something that we have no power to face and overcome ourselves. But dear friends, we must not forget that the power is not ours. The power is of God. The power is of Christ. All power, he says, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And dear friends, he will execute that power through those who seek to witness of his mercy and his truth to his glory, through that which they have experienced of it. And so the church of Christ may grow, as we might say, be evident brighter, that candlestick, brighter here upon this earth. We read, don't we, in Revelation, that to the candlestick there were also stars given to each, associated with each candlestick. That star being the messenger of God to the churches. Are those not the ministers who declare the counsel, the whole counsel of God, and the truth as it is in Jesus? You know, a star is nothing in itself, is it? It's just a lump of material, dead. But the light that reflects from it is from the sun. That's the glory of the star. Is the light that shines, reflecting the truth of that glorious sun that glories in its strength. And so spiritually, if the church, dear friends, the ministers of the gospel, to reflect the glory of the truth as it is in Jesus, the Son of righteousness, who arises with healing in his wings. Oh, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his great power. Oh, that sacrifice for sin, sin and salvation, to be proclaimed, overcome through the blessed work of Christ in obedience to the Father. Dear friends, that's the light, isn't it? And that light is to shine into the hearts and minds of the churches, that they can give light of the witness of the knowledge of the glory of God. Dear friends, how we need to consider these things regarding our own selves, our churches. Are we really a true witness of the truth of Jesus Christ? It's not easy, like a great mountain. The ministry of the gospel, a great mountain. Because one knows one's weakness, frailty, sinfulness, inability, insufficiency. But what does our text say? Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. He has the power. He will have the glory, and he will bring to pass that which is for the glory of his name. Our help cometh from the Lord, doesn't it? Which made heaven and earth. Oh, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? That's the heavenly Zerubbabel. He, the Lord of life and glory. All those things to his glory shall become a plain where we seek to serve him as we ought. Oh, dear friends, do think upon these things. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Well, dear friends, when the church of Christ has been completed here upon this earth, no more to be saved by grace, the end will come. And all those that will be in glory in that earthly, in that heavenly kingdom, will be there through grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty are made rich. Grace, grace unto it. The riches of his grace, the forgiveness of our sins. It's vital, isn't it? Dear friends, this is the light which is to shine in our darkness. Oh, how we need to pray the Lord will open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, by faith to see these things which are declared in his holy word. And they become the object of our first desire. Yes, Jesus crucified for me, as the hymn writer says. And him to be our all and in all, in all aspects of our earthly life. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. What does that mean, before Zerubbabel? Before the heavenly Zerubbabel? Dear friends, that means prayer. Before him. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ says, when thou prayest, go into thy closet, those, that secret room, that quiet room, shut the door about you. Fall on your knees, pour out your heart before him. Tell him all the truth. Tell him of your inability, your weakness, your fears, your sins. And plead for that mercy and that grace. That's what it is, isn't it, to come to a throne of grace. Humbly falling before him, before Zerubbabel, before our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, in his name pleading what he alone can do for the glory of his name. It shall become as plain. He will strengthen. He will help. He will provide. He will open a way. He will make the crooked things straight. He will make the rough places plain. Dear friends, have you proven it already? Or are you still full of fear and dread and doubts and unbelief? Then, dear friends, we have to pray the Lord will remove that great mountain, that great hindrance, that we may walk in the light of his countenance, in the honour and glory of his name, and the blessing of our souls. Whom honours him, he will honour. Remember that. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Now this revelation here, this vision to Zechariah, was really in the type of the building of the temple, which we spoke of a little last Friday. When Zerubbabel and those that were with him, Joshua and the people, came from Babylon, oh, what a sight must have met their eyes. We might say an impossible sight. Everything was destruction. There must have been complete despair. The walls were broken down. The temple had been destroyed. All the treasures of it taken away. No doubt the houses had been destroyed also, the dwelling places. And it was, yes, like a wilderness. You know, seeing some of the photographs we see of warfare in the various places of the world where bombing has taken place, and we see these great buildings which have been flattened, destroyed, and fire, and we think, well, however can that city be built again? It must have been like that for these as they saw Jerusalem. But who art thou, O great mountain? You see, they began. They found greater difficulties. The enemies threw the people round about that were living there by that time. They sought to stop them, and they obtained the ruling of the king of the time to stop them. And they said, the time is not come that we should build the house of God. And so they settled, as we might say, on their lees. They went about their daily work. They did their farming. They did the necessary things of life. They lived comfortably in their houses, which were sealed, so we read. What a great mountain to build up Jerusalem as it once was. But dear friends, they had the word of the Lord. The Lord was with them. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. And it was through the power of the Spirit of God, influencing their hearts, their minds, their consciences, their very being, they were given a mind to work. And they overcame the power of the enemy. They overcame all that destruction. They built the temple. And then they built the walls. Not by might, nor by power. Yes, they were the means. Their hands were the means. But by my spirit, saith the Lord. But by my spirit. And isn't that the case with the church? Of the vision here of Zechariah. It's not by our own work. It's not by our own doings. The house is not built by man, but by God. Otherwise it will not stand. The essential presence and being and power of the Spirit of God. Well, dear friends, that's what we must pray for, isn't it? As this new year continues before us, Spirit of Truth, oh, come down. Influence our hearts, our minds, our words, our deeds, our thoughts. Let thy good Spirit rule my heart, govern all my words and ways. That grace may abound in every part, teach my tongue to sing thy praise. Dear friends, how much self-righteousness have we got in us? Perhaps we're comfortable, we think we're right. But how far short we come, don't we? How we do not fulfill the word of the Lord. It is not a lamp to our feet entirely. It's not a lamp and a light to our pathway entirely. Do we pick and choose that which we would obey and that which we would not? And are we full of excuses of why we cannot comply with a word here and a command there and a statute as it is declared? We have many sins, don't we? Dear friends, we shall never confess our sins. We shall never accept that we are completely unrighteous, as we read in Isaiah 64. We're all as an unclean thing, except the Spirit guide us and help us and teach us and show us. How much more, says Jesus, shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much does that asking appear in our prayers? Then, dear friends, I commend you to God and his power in the work of his Spirit. For through the Spirit we receive all the blessings of God. We're to covet earnestly the best gifts, aren't we? For through the Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Through the Spirit, the gospel is not in word only, but it's in power and in much assurance. And by the Spirit, dear friend, he will lead us and guide us in the unknown way as we lean upon him, trust in him, our beloved. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. Dear friends, what great mountain have you got tonight? We can look at this in a providential sense, can't we? Because in a providential sense there's still the spiritual application. I'm sure for none of us everything is open and plain before us. As we now carry on day by day through January. We don't know what the remaining days of this month shall bring, nor February or March and so on, if the Lord spares this sin-cursed earth. There's one great mountain which you personally have. Yes, let me just stay spiritually for a while. Is it your sin? Is that a great mountain upon you? You cannot be rid of this burden. You try and you try. You seek to obey the word of God more fervently and more exactly. But you find, oh, you cannot keep it one day, even perhaps one hour. And you're led astray through the inward desires of your heart and your lusts and your prejudices, your pride, your angers and whatever it is. We certainly do not love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our mind, with all our soul and with all our strength, neither our neighbour as ourselves. Then, friends, is sin really a great burden to you? Like a great mountain. It's got to be overcome, and you cannot overcome it yourself. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give thee rest. Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. Oh, that mountain of sin, that mountain of guilt. Dear friend, through confession of that at the throne of grace, at the footstool of mercy, oh, there's a flowing down. Is that your prayer? As we read in the beginning of Isaiah 64, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. That's what we need, isn't it? And dear friends, it's not just once, it's again and again and again in the experience of earthly life. Oh, in the prophecy of Isaiah we read that it's our iniquities have separated between us and our God, and our sins have hid his face from us. Oh, the Lord is a merciful, kind and gracious God, but dear friends, he doesn't look upon sin lightly. And he will bring us into those places and those spots when we have to recognize the consequence of our sins, barrenness of our spirit, dryness of our hearts. And oh, we mourn an absent God. And then, dear friends, does this not become our cry? Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. Pardon my sin. Come again in the blessedness of the truth as it is in Jesus. Calm my troubled breast. Cleanse me from my sin. Cause me to rejoice in Christ and my Saviour. Oh, to have that love shed abroad again, dear friends, in your heart. Oh, that great mountain of your guilt. Yea, before Zerubbabel it shall become a plain as you fall before him, confessing those sins. Dear friends, it's a place we are ever to be found. Those sins will soon build up again if we neglect it. And those sins will lead us astray. Oh, dear friends, we don't want to go astray, do we? No, we want to be kept. Kept in the fold of the love of the Lord, Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. Him who gave his life for the sheep. And dear friends, in our waywardness, of course, all we like sheep have gone astray. Then how we need this falling before him, this constant prayer. Yes, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, because that great mountain, dear friends, was laid upon Jesus Christ, as it were, laid upon those shoulders as he bore the sins of many. Yes, upon his soul. To blot it out, carry it away, that great burden of the sins of all his people. That it be seen no more in the depths of the sea, buried. That all those for whom he died shall be found faultless, pure, holy on that judgment day. Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. I, even I, am he that blotteth out all thy transgressions for my name's sake, and will remember thy sins no more. Well, dear friends, there's no better place to be, there's there. And before the heavenly Zerubbabel, the Lord Jesus Christ, through that the throne of grace, pleading his name and sin atoning blood. Well, dear friends, as we are in this earthly life, we have many mountains of difficulties that arise, don't we? None of us are exempt from it. I'm sure we could go through a great big long list of them, but just let me think just of a few that might apply to you. We all have our sicknesses. And dear friends, sicknesses can bring great fears. And those fears can become a great mountain. A mountain which works up within us unbelief, doubts, fears of the power of God, the goodness of God, the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. You know, when we have sicknesses and pains and afflictions and they hinder us in our daily lives and commitments and responsibilities, we wonder how we're going to pass through them, don't we? Well, dear friends, there's only one who does know. Because do remember that our times are in his hands. All things are at his command. Nothing happens to us by chance. There's a divine purpose there somewhere. We shan't be able to see it. And you know, dear friends, although we cannot give thanks for the sickness or for any difficulty that might arise, we can thank him that all these things are in his hand. And his hand is that gracious hand of which I've spoken. And he can sanctify it for the good of our soul, turn it for holy use, the blessing of our soul, and for the furtherance of the gospel. That he become a witness, that he become one of those lights which we can testify of the goodness and mercy of God, which we have experienced in the times of our troubles and difficulties. Who can tell Who can tell why various sicknesses, diseases and things come upon us? We have to be thankful for the medical profession today. But dear friends, when we face medical treatment, dear friends, we can often have that great mountain of fear and difficulties, can't we? Wondering what may be the consequence of them. All things are in the Lord's hand. And as we fall before him, before Zerubbabel, all those fears, that mountain of fears, and dear friends, they can become a plain. Looking unto Jesus. He who has gone before you, he who knows the way, he will lead you in the way that is everlasting. He will lead you forth in the right way to keep you in that way everlasting. Looking unto Jesus. He won't let it have the rule over you. He won't let it destroy your faith. If anything, it will strengthen your faith. As you see that precious promise, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will be thy helper. I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. I will hold thee by my right hand, thy right hand. Dear friend, he's your keeper. He'll be in your going out and your coming in. Oh, dear friends, what a gracious God we have, don't we? A very present help in times of trouble. And that help, dear friends, we experience. As we fall before him, commit it unto him, he will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. And oh, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. The crooked things will be made straight. Yes, rough places plain. And thou shalt carry on day by day, step by step. It may not be the speed you want to go. There may be quite a few stumbling blocks. But dear friends, he'll keep you from falling. He'll uphold you underneath of those everlasting arms. Now there to help, provide, even to carry. Oh, this God is our God. He'll be our guide even unto death. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. Dear friends, have some of you got a great mountain in your business, your work? Things do arise, don't they? Times of trouble, perhaps threatening of the loss of your work. Fearing that you will not be able to provide for those who depend upon you. Dear friends, I've passed through that pathway. And that redundancy was, yes, a great mountain. But the Lord made it a plain. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The word which I was given when I was baptized. Oh, dear friends, I had to come to plead it, to depend upon it. And although I was out of work for 12 months, the bank balance never went into the red. Support of the family, the mortgage and everything else. Dear friends, trust in him at all times. Oh, pour out your heart before him, before Zerubbabel, humbly before him. You can't claim of any benefit or you've earned of yourself, can you? We're unworthy of the least of his mercies. But his mercy endureth forever to those that fear him, to those that call upon his name, those that trust in him. Dear friends, this is how we carry on through our earthly life. But we don't know what's going to come upon us at any time, do we? What about those family matters? Oh, we live in days when the Christian family, dear friends, has much against it. Through the laws of the land. But, dear friends, there's one who knows all these things. There's one who is there to hear and answer prayer. There's one who's there to own and to bless. There's one who's there to keep you in the rugged and the right way. Or to commit unto him all things. Dear friends, in education today, oh, there's so much difficulty arising, isn't there? From the dreadful philosophies that are put forth, and even in the governments who seek to have more influence over what is done to the children rather than the family, rather than the parents. But, dear friends, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. He is able to deliver from the deepest of troubles and distresses and fears. It'd be like a great mountain, can't it? Bringing up children in this evil day to keep them, an endeavour to guide them in the way they should go. And well, dear friends, what's the prayer? It's to commit them unto the Lord, isn't it? And to you to ask for your own wisdom. Dear friends, where we conduct ourselves in the fear of the Lord, then the Lord will have mercy upon us. Merciful unto those that fear him. And, dear friends, he will keep you and help you and provide and open ways where there seems to be no way. Open a door which you can go through. Shut a door which is forbidden of you. And we don't say, dear friends, it will all go smooth and well either, shall we? For Satan is like a mighty lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, and he'll use whatever he can. He'll use the influences of the authorities, dear friends, as a threatening to the Lord's people. But, dear friends, seeking whom he may devour. If you fear the Lord, seeking to walk in his ways, he won't devour you. Oh, his roaring might be very strong. His roaring might make us fear and tremble. But, dear friends, he won't be able to have you. The Lord will gain the victory. He won't let you be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation make that way to escape. Now, the younger people in your education, is it a great mountain before you, examinations? And things that you have to achieve to progress on in this earthly life. You know, there's nothing too small and nothing too great to commit unto the Lord in prayer. He will help. He will provide. You know, I once heard of one who, he was at university. The final examinations were coming up. And he had a major examination on the Monday morning. And he knew he must study very, very earnestly for it. And he was tempted to stay at his room all the day on the Lord's Day and study. He was one who went to the house of God regularly. It was a trial of his faith. His own wisdom said, study. Yet deep down he thought, oh, I must go as I normally do to the house of God upon his day. And that exam was a great mountain before him. How was he going to get over it if he did not study on that day, on that Lord's day? And he got on his bike and went towards the chapel, and part the way he stopped, turned round to go back. He stopped, turned round again, and went back the other way. He ended up in the house of God. He spent the day there as he normally did. And that evening afterwards, how he prayed. And you know, in that morning, that mountain flowed down at the presence of God. He was able to answer the examinations and got a very, very good qualification. The Lord knoweth them that trust in him. The Lord knoweth them who put him first. Oh, children, young people, do trust in the Lord. Seek his ways. And he will help guide and uphold you through all things. But perhaps finally, these mountains. We can have many of them. You've got your own. I've got mine. And dear friends, in things, in our duties, responsibilities, in church life. Oh, dear friends, there's some there, aren't there? Any of you got a great mountain of exercise before you? An exercise of becoming, yes, a member of the church, an openly professed member of the church. Dear friends, you must be before the Lord, mustn't you, committing this exercise. It's his exercise. He has placed it there. And you pray to be made willing in the day of his power. You fall before him. And dear friends, that great mountain of fear and your excuses and whatever come in to hinder the way, they'll fall down at his presence. Before the rubble, thou become a plain, and you'll be able to go on in the strength of the Lord your God, and he will bless you. What about exercise regarding the ministry? Is any of you there? Oh, what a great mountain that must be. Dear friends, I know. You try to do your utmost to turn aside to perhaps say, oh, well, if I go this way, that mountain will depart. I won't have the exercise like that. No, it won't. Not if it's of the Lord. You won't be able to go around it. You'll have to go into it. And dear friends, in going into it, oh, you'll pray, won't you? May the mountains flow down at thy presence. That's the only way, dear friends, one can go forward in the name of the Lord to proclaim the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ as you've known and handled it and felt it. It will become a plain. That compelling of the Lord. The Lord is with you. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. And he won't leave you nor forsake you. And dear friends, where he fulfills that exercise within you, will he not use you to the furtherance and the blessing of the gospel? Oh, we're to pray, all of us are to pray, aren't we? That he will send out, the Lord will send out labourers into his harvest. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Dear friends, the evidence of this sending forth is that fear, a great mountain of fear, a great mountain of difficulty. How is sufficient for these things? How can I carry on week by week whenever I'm pulled to preach? You won't, of yourself. It's as the Lord shall help you. And as you keep yourself on your knees, Lord, help me. Lord, use me to the honour and glory of thy name. Not to my good and not to the lifting up of my pride and not to people to say things well of me, no. But to see the evidence that thou wast in the word that thou had enabled me to speak and thou shalt have all the glory. Dear friends, that's where the things are made plain, isn't it? Where the word of God is confirmed with signs following. And finally, I lost clothes. That mountain of death. Oh, dear friends, is it a mountain to any of you here? I'm sure it is. We read, don't we, of those who all their lifetime were subject to bondage. How shall I be when I take my last breath? How can I, with all my sins and doubts and fears and all my behaviour through earthly life, be expected to be carried to the heavenly kingdom? Dear friend, Satan will point out all your sins. I remember one godly woman in the Bethesda home at Harpenden many years ago now. She had a dream, and all a great big scroll was opened in front of her, and there was all her sins recorded, and Satan was there pointing at every one of them. And she knew they were the truth of all her sins. And she was in a great state in this dream, a nightmare you might say. And at the bottom of this, we've come to the end of the scroll, there was written, "But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin." Satan had to flee. Oh, dear friends, that's our plea, isn't it, all our days, and it'll be in our last day. For Christ came to deliver those who all their lifetime were subject to bondage, under the power of sin, that great mountain. Yes, I mentioned at the beginning to plead and to confess those sins, we do. But perhaps sometimes we never really feel the sweetness of the clarity of being completely free from sin. Of course, the next day comes and we sin again. The next day comes, we sin again. But if he's begun a good work in you, he will perform it. And in that last day, dear friends, that mountain will flow down at his presence. "Come, thou blessed of the Father. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And what will it be? It'll be grace, grace unto it. You're a sinner saved by grace. The riches of that grace, the forgiveness of your sins, the only thing that had caused that mountain of your guilt to remove. Oh, how solemn. How solemn, dear friends, to come to the end of our days. And that mountain of our guilt, we see it maybe for the first time. We've lived our lives upon this earth in nature's darkness. We've never seen the extent of our guilt. That's one thing perhaps I should have said at the beginning. Dear friends, if you see this mountain of your guilt, it's the evidence you've been given eyes, the eye of faith to see how you need the redemption of your soul. But how solemn if the first time our guilt is seen is under the judgment eye of God. And those words, "Depart from me into everlasting fire." Well, dear friends, I trust that won't be any of us. May we be amongst these who prove this word true. "Who art thou, O great mountain," whatever it is, the mountain of unbelief in our soul, our spiritual existence, the things in providence which are comes the trials of our faith. "Who art thou, O great mountain?" Well, dear friends, that won't overcome your hope of eternal life. It be part of Satan, yes, seeking whom he may devour. But before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Oh, and in that last day we shall pass over from time into eternity to enjoy that fullness of life and love in Jesus Christ. Forevermore. Until then, dear friends, do keep yourselves falling before the Lord, humbly pouring out your heart before him, telling him all the truth, all your need, and humbly trust in him, in all that he brings to pass in your life, that he can work all things, he shall work all things together for good, to them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that good, dear friends, will be eternal life of your soul. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a church meeting after this service. Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Jabez Rutt on Friday evening next week. Let us sing the remaining verses of hymn 814. 814, commencing at verse 8. The chief concern of fallen the chief concern of fallen mankind should be to enjoy God's favour. What safety can a sinner find before he finds a saviour? Verse 8.
May that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.